you just saw there was made by our own Adam Genera. Just so you know a little bit about Adam, I asked him to make a very simple short video with three colors, green, red, and gold, and he gave me a full production. And then he sent it to me and said, this is a rough draft. What do you think? I'm like, I think we're good. It's a pretty amazing. Good to have talented people. Thank you for the musicians. That was awesome this morning. Thank you very much. Do that again. Good. Alyssa, that was very good. God is glorified when we use our talents. That definitely was like camp. That was really cool. I'm excited for the summer and the things that are coming. So the business end of what we have to do, we'll do at the end. There's going to be news and stuff, so you can sit and wait for that after we get completed. So I was born with six toes on each foot. I had a sixth finger on this hand, right here. There's still a nub. By any definition of what perfection is, I do not qualify. Since about the age of 30, my hairline has been receding. I am now mostly bald. I have a niece who calls me Uncle Baldy. Since the age of 6, I've worn glasses. I don't see very well. I have a terrible astigmatism, which means my eyeballs are literally squished. These are physical imperfections, but my imperfections don't stop there. I lie sometimes about stuff. At this age, when I lie, I honestly have no idea why. I'm on the upswing to 60, and I shouldn't need to lie about anything, but I still do. I also get mad. I'm sad. I'm frustrated. These are all imperfections that are part of who I am. My body aches like a lot. My knees hurt, my back hurts, and the more I work, the more tired I get. My list of ailments grows the longer I'm on this planet. And in my life, even in my absolute best moments, even when I have said, this is perfect, it was not perfect. It shouldn't be news to anyone, but our world is far from perfect. Perfection is subjective. It's a subjective measurement that we give. At the Olympics, the judges may say a particular routine is a perfect 10. It isn't actually a perfect 10. It's just very close to perfection, and so they call it perfect. If you ever watch a dunk contest, you'll have one judge give a 50, a perfect score, and the next judge gives a 47. So it's subjective. There's no rhyme or reason. You would think if something were perfect, it either is or it isn't. So what's the deal? Where do we get this idea of perfect from? Who first recommended or told us what perfection was? Today, we start Sermon 1 of the series I'm calling Green, Red, and Gold. We're going to start at the beginning, actually even before our beginning. So let's pray and ask God to open our hearts this morning. Father, we thank you for your perfection. We acknowledge that we don't really truly know what perfection is in this life. We look to you for showing us what we need to know, what we need to do, how we need to be, even how we need to feel. We need your guidance in all of this. We thank you for all that you've done, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do for us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Normally, I bring my Bible up here, and I have a reference, and I'll turn some pages, and I have little notes and things, but this morning, we're talking about a story that I think literally everyone in here has knowledge of. At least the working knowledge of the idea that God created the world. That's something that I think the majority of people have an understanding of, if you believe that there is such a thing as God. In the book of Genesis, we can start the account of God's creation. It says this, these are the first words he gave to humanity when he was speaking through Moses, the first things to be written down. It says this, in the beginning, God created. So it doesn't really matter so much your understanding of mechanisms and processes. What does matter is that you understand those first few words. In the beginning, God created. At the end of several of the sections in the first chapter of Genesis, he does this and he does that, he does this and he does that. And it says, God will finish something and he will say, it is good. So God does something and he says, it is good. The Hebrew word for that is a really small little word. It's tov, T-O-V. That's how we spell it in English. Tov. It is good. But in the first chapter also, in the 31st verse, he says this. He says, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. Well, that's interesting. See, I'm a word guy. So people say something was very unique. That doesn't make sense. It's either unique or it isn't. So he says, it was good. It was very good. Okay, there are levels of good apparently. But in the Hebrew, that's a different phrase. It's henna tov. And it literally means perfect. So at the end of his time of creating on the sixth day, God looked at all he had made and he said, this is perfect. It's an amazing, amazing picture of God's creation. So I encourage you this week, as you're going about your business, when you have your morning time, your evening time, or your lunch time, whatever time you spend with the Lord, that you would read through Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. That's your Bible assignment for the week. And you need to read through it with this perspective. Everything was perfect. No problems, no worries, no death, decay, or destruction. Plants grew and provided food. The sun was never too hot and the nights were never too cold. There was a perfect rhythm to life. The days had order, structure, and purpose. 6 days we did things. On the seventh day we rested. A little side note here. My wife doesn't know this, but yesterday was Saturday. If you know your Spanish, it's sábado. If you know some of your languages, that goes back to Sabbath. So really the seventh day is Saturday, and that's the day you're supposed to rest. And I took her on a date, which was a date. We went to Vivi, Indiana, or Vive, if you're from the French persuasion. And we looked at some black tulips, which are really dark purple tulips, but they're still pretty cool. And we got to see a little town and stuff. We had a good time. And I wanted to do that because I wanted to spend time with her, and I looked at my calendar and it was empty. But really what I was also doing for myself was something I never do. I took a Sabbath rest. I've been reading all week, in the last 2 weeks really, 3 weeks, about Jesus and about God and his creation and how we're supposed to do what we do. And I thought, I never take a whole day rest. I just don't do it. Do you all? Most people don't. We just keep going. Keep going. Got to clean that garage. Got to fix that thing. Got to work on that bicycle. Got to fix that car. Got to clean the bedrooms. We got to wash the windows. We got to clean the carpets. Oh, what are we going to do today? Oh, today we're going to work on the shed. Oh, it's time to plant in the garden. Oh, we got to weed that front patch there. It's terrible. Oh, I got to mow. What do you got to do? I got to do all these things. I got to go to my mom's house and I got to take care of this. I got to go to my dad's house to take care of this. I'm going to go over and help a friend. But Saturday, aren't you resting? I am resting. I'm helping my friend work on his house. God gave us a perfect structure. We don't often follow it. It wasn't just that our days that were structured. There was a rhythm. There was a rhythm to the place. There were four rivers. There was a garden, an organized and specific space. The land was orderly and purposeful. Literally every aspect of creation was pure perfection. And that's it in a nutshell. God made a perfect world for his perfect creation to enjoy. We had total freedom. For our purposes today, we are choosing the color green. I chose green because it represents fresh and it represents perfection to me. Green suggests forever or eternal. It has a calm quality to it. And in this perfection made by our dad in heaven, our only constraint, the only thing we were told we couldn't do, the only rule in the entire reality of our existence was this. There are trees, but there's one tree about the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat from that tree. That was the only rule. Everything else, it's all good. Do not eat from that one tree. I believe this entirely. I think we can all agree. If you look back and you look at this structure, and you look at this perfection, I think we can agree that is not an unreasonable request. One thing you can't do, don't eat from that tree. That is not an unreasonable request. Young people, when you're growing up and you're 15 and 16 and 18 and 20 years old, and your parents and your elders and your pastors and your friends are telling you, don't do these things. They're really telling you, don't go back to that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't break the laws that God laid around for your protection. And you're like, oh, I'm going to do that anyway. You did it, I'm going to do it. Okay, so I was dumb, you're going to be dumb. Okay, that's dumb. One thing he said not to do. So if we consider what life was supposed to be, when we can see God's original plan for humanity, we can catch a glimpse of God's promise for eternity. Let me say that again. When we can see God's original plan for humanity, which is us, we can catch a glimpse of his promise for eternity. This is the profound picture. And here's an important truth. We're going to dwell on this a couple of times this morning. Through Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, even now, even though it doesn't feel like it, even though it doesn't seem like it, even though what I'm about to say, you're going to be like, nope, nothing perfect in my life. But even now, we can enjoy some of the perfection that was originally intended. So we're going to look at seven realities of Eden prior to it all falling apart. The first one, it's one of my favorite songs. I've sung it before. Is Adam in here? Adam's in here. He's the only Adam, I think, in our building right now. There's an old song by Don Francisco, and I'm not a singer like Alyssa is, but it's like, Adam, Adam, where are you? I love this song. It's really deep and rich. And it's God walking in the garden. That's the song. And he's literally walking in the garden. The number one thing is we had direct fellowship with God. We were designed to walk with God. Not figuratively, as Jim and I and Rick and Tanya and Hannah talked about this morning, but literally. We were literally designed to walk with our Creator. He literally walked with us in the garden. He was present with us. And with God, there was no fear, no shame, no distance. The Bible says that they didn't wear any clothes and they weren't worried about it. That's Bob's translation. So here was God, and he made this perfect place for us, and he had this perfect relationship with us, and he literally walked with us. That's the first thing. The second thing is, the Bible says we are the image bearers. Now that's an old-sounding phrase, image bearers. What does that mean? Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27 says that we were designed to reflect God's character. Some people say, you know, does God have a body? Well, the Bible says God is spirit. And so it's a theological debate. But it's not that God looked like us. It's that we are like God. We were people of character, of creativeness. We were people who were made in the image of God. We were moral. We were relational. We were to be good stewards. We were supposed to reflect God in all these ways, like the way that he is. We were loving and kind and generous and thoughtful and caring. And we thought of others first and ourselves second. We did. This is how we reflect God. This is how we're his image bearers. It's way different than just, did God have a face and a nose? And was he tall or short? Was he fat or skinny? Did he have big arms or little arms? No. We reflect God's character. Who God is who we are supposed to be. The third is one that most of us will groan. There was supposed to be joy in working. Okay. You're supposed to have joy. He literally made us to work. Now, that might sound like not a good thing for some of you. Some of you have jobs, you're like, ain't no joy. Even that right there, you see that? I don't like the word ain't, and I said it, because that's how much I think that work can be a pain sometimes. This idea that we were intended to work, It was to be meaningful with no frustration, with no toil, with no burnout, with no futility. We were meant to work, and it was to be a joy. It was something that we were built to do. And what's crazy is the way that things are. We're going to talk about more of this in the next sermon next week, which is called Red. And it's this idea that many of us run to work as some kind of a safe place or a solace, when in fact now work is a toil. But when God first made work, it was supposed to be awesome. Have you ever seen somebody that enjoys their work truly? You ever seen that? Anyone? Anyone? Maybe? If you see somebody who enjoys their work, it's kind of a joy to watch them. It really is. If you've never seen Riddy mow the yard out here, he enjoys it. That dude is a lawn mowing machine. Not just the machine he's on, he's a machine. And he's out there, he's going up and down. He enjoys his work. There's no shame. This is how God made us to enjoy work. The fourth thing is, and this is tough for us to get our minds around because I don't think any of us have this, relational perfection. Any perfect relationships here? Anyone? Anyone? It's not fair if you got a two-week-old baby in your hands and you're like, this is perfect right here. Yeah, well, wait. Relational perfection. There was supposed to be unity between all humans. We were supposed to get along. And not just get along, totally get along. We were supposed to enjoy one another. We're supposed to have good times together. We were supposed to not have strife and not have anger and not have resentment and not have suffering and not have pain and all the other stuff that we have in our relationships. We were to be the opposite of that silly TV show, Naked and Afraid. This is what God has for us. Relational perfection was his plan. Number five was harmony with creation. It's just a neat thing. It sounds like somebody can make a song out of that, harmony with creation. This is what we're supposed to have. It sounds like tree-hugging hippie stuff, but that's not what it was. It was God saying, I made all of this for you. The trees and the flowers and the dirt and the bugs and the animals and the sky and the rain and there was no rain at that time. But all of these things he made for us, and there was supposed to be relational harmony. And he said, there will be no death and no decay and no destruction. And our task in our work was to take care of the creation. Pretty simple. Was to honor it. And to cultivate it, and to bless it, and to care for it, and to protect it. That was our job. We were put here to do that. That's why we were put here. He made this beautiful place, and he said, take care of it. You guys take care of it. It's a good thing. Number six gets into some of the deeper stuff that we see more in the fallen world of where the fractures came. Moral clarity. There was not anything that was ambiguous. You think that's wrong? That wasn't even in their language. You think I should do? There was one thing they weren't supposed to do. What was that? Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was it. Everything else was okay because everything else was perfect. And so moral clarity, there was no issue of this internal conflicts, no guilt, no shame. And there was a clear knowledge of absolutes. Keep that in the back of your brain as we go through the next 2 weeks. If there was a clear knowledge of absolutes, and if you're a person or an entity or a being, let's give him the name, I don't know, Satan, and you wanted to mess things up really badly, what's one of the first things you would do? You would say, let's get rid of absolutes. You think this is perfection. I say this is perfection. We'll get into that in the weeks to come. But moral clarity was there. There was no ambiguity. Everything was understood. Right and wrong were clear as day. The last thing in our God, and the way God made us this perfect structure, were freedom with boundaries. That might sound contradictory, might sound oxymoronic to some of you. You may say, freedom with boundaries? No, I'm either free or I'm not. No. Why? Because he knows how we are. We were given real choices. We were given real freedoms. We were provided with real loving limits. Let me go back to the one limit that we had. Don't eat from that tree. One limit. One thing we couldn't do. It was freedom with a boundary, singular. Don't eat from that tree. That was it. Some years ago, Bart Millard wrote the song, I Can Only Imagine. If you've not seen the movie, it's awesome. There's apparently a second movie out, I Can Only Imagine 2. I would have thought of a better title, frankly. Don't know what that, also, I Can Only Imagine Also, or I Can Only Imagine A Little More. I don't know. I would have come up with a better title, but I heard it's really good as well. We've not seen it yet. He wrote this song. He shared the longing for what heaven must be like. That there was a time when humanity didn't have to imagine. There was a time in the garden where it was Adam, Adam, where are you? And God was right there with us. He was walking amongst us. There was a time we had no need to imagine what it would be like. Even as we endeavor to imagine what heaven may be like, it's helpful that we spend some time imagining what the creation was supposed to be. That was my thought for green. I wore my green jacket today. Even though we no longer live in a perfect creation, maybe, just maybe, we can still orient our lives around the rules and the construct of God's original intention. Maybe we can grab some of that perfection and try and live by it. God created us to fellowship with Him through the power and the connection of the Holy Spirit, and we can have that fellowship even now. We can go to God without shame because in Jesus Christ there is no condemnation. As God's image bearers, we can do our best to reflect that character and the qualities of God, even in the midst of an imperfect world. Our work can be a joy to us. Sounds impossible, doesn't it? Can be. Our work can be a joy to us. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Colossians. He says, whatever you do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. So whatever you do, whether you're working at Chick-fil-A or you're working in the street department or you're working at a hospital or you're working hard at being retired, you can do it for the glory of the Lord. We can strive to live in perfection even in this imperfect world. Our relationships can be godly. They can be godly, but it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work, a lot of swallowing hard, a lot of keeping your mouth shut. There's a funny meme, and I'm not going to share it this morning because I have a wife. It's popped into my head. It's funny. It's really funny. But man, it would get me beat up so bad. I'll tell you about it later, and then you can... Our relationships can be godly, but they do take a lot of work. There is not just our relationship to one another, but our relationship with God and to His creation. Any thinking person can see that we've really screwed this place up with our pollution and stuff. Any thinking person can see that. The mismanagement, the short-sightedness, the general lack of care and concern for our world is evident as we humans. God has called us to be stewards of His creation, and sadly, we haven't done well with that at all. These last two things are very important. We are absolutely 100%, three things actually. This is the first one. You're going to beat the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, everybody to lunch. You're going to be the first, you're going to be there before the doors even open at some of your restaurants. But these last two things are so very important. We've already mentioned them in the 7 points, but I want to kind of return to them. God's original perfection included moral clarity. If that's too complicated of a sentence, I'm trying to think about, it's hard, but something the stuff that we are confused about, we shouldn't be confused about. I'm not meaning to be rude. I don't want to anger anybody, but black is black and white is white, up is up and down is down. And when we restructure God's creation in any capacity, it just doesn't make any sense. And it only doesn't make any sense if you just step back and look at it. Genders are what they are. Truth is what it is. There's no such thing as your truth and my truth. You can't live your own truth. We live truth. There is one truth, capital T. Because the reality of it is, so many of the truths today conflict with one another. So one of them's got to be not true. Or they both are wrong. So this idea of moral clarity that was the perfect part of God's creation, that's been blown up. When you say you do you and I'll do me, you're saying stupid stuff. You're saying dumb stuff. You can't do that. Because sometimes when I do me, it really messes up you doing you. So now we got a problem, right? And sometimes when you do you, it really jacks up me doing me. Now I got a problem. Perfection is gone. The relational reality is broken. Moral clarity no longer exists. Absolutes are thrown out the window. Everything in God's perfect structure is broken when we live that way. That's an important thing for us to understand. We can attain to that perfection by just knowing that God says this is true and this is true and this is true and this is true, and we can believe those things and we can live by those things. And finally, God's perfect creation, it included freedom but with boundaries. And this is where we kids, we're all God's kids, we go off the rails when it comes to boundaries. Don't tell me what to do. Don't hem me in. Why do I have to be home at this time? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to clean that? Why we don't like boundaries at all. And if you say you like boundaries, I'm going to say you're already breaking another one of God's perfect rules, which is don't lie. We don't like boundaries. We don't. We don't like speed limits. We don't like stop signs. We don't like stop lights and yield signs. We don't like roundabouts. We don't like whatever it is we got going on 31. Don't even know. Don't like it. We just don't like to be constrained. And God says, I constrain you for your safety. I constrain you to take care and protect you. Our kids, we tell them all the time, this is for your own good. Well, I don't like it. Okay, well, that's fine. I didn't like it either, but it was for my good. These are things every follower of Christ, I think, should have a bumper sticker that proclaims this. Freedom with boundaries. Wade, maybe we can work on that and make some money. I don't know. Freedom with boundaries. All right. I promise you we're going to be out early. Today we looked back to a time when God showed us his hand. His plan and his desire were perfection for us. He only always wanted the best for his creation. That's all he ever wanted. That's all he ever planned for us, was the best. Never has God made a decision that was detrimental to us. Keep that in the forefront of your brain this week. Never has God made a decision that was detrimental to you. It's hard for some of us to grasp. It's hard for some of us to believe. But it's true. As the band comes back up, we're going to wrap this up. And this is just part one of a three-parter. Like I said, this was green. Next week it's going to be red. And then the week after it will be gold. If you're a fan of Boy George and the Culture Club, you might be messed up by my order. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, you 80s people are like, yeah, I got it. That was funny. We are his children. We are made in his image. He established a rhythm of life for us that was to include relationship, work, rest, and joy. Even in our fallen state, we all long for the perfection of God. We want connection, we want purpose, we want peace, and we want security. Next week, when we dive into red, we're going to look at what happened to what God made. We're going to explore the fall, the cost, and the price, and meet the one who paid that price for us. Now, may we take time this week to dwell on God's perfect plan for us, his creation, his purpose. Eden shows us not just where we came from, but what our hearts are still longing for. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your perfection. I thank you that it's only always been present. I thank you that you made us in a perfect world. I ask you to forgive us for breaking it. And I thank you that you give us restoration. Help us this week to really dwell on what it means that you made all of this perfect for us because you love us that much. You're a good and loving father. You're a great dad. You give us all that we need. We don't deserve what we have, but you have blessed us beyond our wildest dreams. Help us to really dive into your creation this week and see how awesome it is that you built us. We pray this in Jesus' name.